So I apologize in advance. This cold I have is pretty resilient, so if I cough a lot, I do apologize. So my name is Kaylin Benson. I'm a master's student at The Ohio State University under Dr. Nicholas Basta. And I'm going to be going over some research that we've done together looking at long-term soil quality of soils that were once degraded but then restored with different biosolids and compost treatments in Calumet, Illinois. So introduced, we can see here on the right some examples of degraded soils in Calumet. You can see lack of vegetation, probably some compaction issues, probably lack of nutrients. And as Doran and Parkin say pretty well, these soils have really lost their capacity to function for biological productivity, environmental quality, and then to promote plant and animal health. So in 2009, there was a collaborative effort between some professors at Ohio State and the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District in Calumet, and they wanted to evaluate biosolid soil blends and compost to see how well they could restore and revitalize these degraded sites. It's important to note here that the 2-inch compost rate was actually the recommendation for this restoration project. So the site was located actually at the wastewater treatment and biosolids processing facility in Calumet. And for the experimental design, it was completely randomized. 20 plots were installed with 4 treatments and then 1 control. The control is marked as the TS, it's our topsoil. The C is that recommended compost 2-inch rate. B1 would be biosolids at 1-inch, and then B2 is biosolids at 2-inch. And then lastly is the D, which is our quote-unquote dream blend of biosolids, water treatment residual, and then biochar. So we have some nice pictures of the different blend materials. The first is the compost, which, like I said, the site was located at that treatment facility, so there was no transportation. Biosolids were right there for us to use. The vegetative compost was a hardwood type of compost. Then lastly, the water treatment residual and biochar, which were added to that last dream treatment to see if there would be a reduction in phosphorus runoff and any contamination issues as well. So you can see there at the bottom left, all of the treatments were rototilled in and incorporated at a 4-inch depth and then seeded with a native prairie blend of different grasses, legumes, and forbs. So here are just a few of the conclusions from 2009. Firstly, the vegetative performance across the board was actually pretty good between biosolids and compost. However, the biosolids' vegetative performance was more pronounced. On that same sort of note, the biosolids, it's a little better than the compost and increased soil quality measures such as soil organic carbon and other soil quality measures as well. However, the 2-inch rate did exhibit a potential for phosphorus runoff, which was a concern. So lastly, they concluded that the 1-inch biosolids rate was the most beneficial recommended treatment. So my current objective for my research now, 7 years later in 2016, is to go back and do a follow-up study to look at the longevity of these treatments, so a long-term soil quality assessment. So this past summer, we went back to Calumet, and we sampled. My advisor likes to say it was the hottest day in Calumet that summer. It was like 98, 99 degrees. So you can see it was really overgrown, but we got through it. We got through it. And so we cut everything down, did our sampling, brought it all back to Ohio State. And we were assessing these soils, looking at 19 different soil quality measures. A lot were pulled from the Cornell framework, which is the Comprehensive Assessment of Soil Health. And a few tests as well from SMATH, which is the USDA NRCS test soil management assessment framework. And so these 19 soil quality measures we chose because we think this gives us a really comprehensive, good overall picture of soil quality, looking at physical, chemical, and also biological properties. But obviously, in the sake of time and brevity, I'm only going to go over just a few of the highlighted results that we found. So starting off with nitrogen, you can see total nitrogen and potentially mineralizable nitrogen here. The biosolids 2-inch rate really did a good job at increasing total and PMN here, which we think is actually quite impressive that 7 years later that this biosolids is still feeding into that nitrogen cycle. It's actually quite impressive. Moving on to carbon, similar kind of trend here. Again, that biosolids 2-inch rate is kind of our all-star here. It's showing an increase in total and organic carbon, and it's important to note here that the compost, which again is that recommended treatment, actually does not show a significant increase from the control. And this is maybe showing us that over time the compost just is not holding up. Moving on to some nutrient data, we did a Mealic 3 extraction. And again, the biosolids 2-inch, which is highlighted there for you, shows the highest copper, potassium, phosphorus, and zinc. However, in bold there, you can see that phosphorus number of 1,200 parts per million. It's really high, and it's a risk for runoff. But we don't like to see a Mealic number higher than around 150 ppm when it comes to phosphorus. So it is a concern for runoff. And again, just showing here that the compost does not show a significant increase when it comes to these nutrients versus the control. Moving on to plant biomass, again, very similar to the 2009 results. We see that all the treatments show an increase in vegetative growth. And you can really see that visually here with different pictures of our plots. The bottom right's our control. You can see plants are looking very, they're low to the ground, looking kind of yellow, and it's really favoring grasses, not much diversity, whereas the other treatments show diverse, lush, kind of overgrown vegetation of all of the grasses, the forbs, and the legumes. So a little bit better there with the treatments. Wrapping up with just the last few of the results, you can see that the biosolids 2-inch is showing, it's tending to have higher hydraulic connectivity. We see there that there's a potential for more infiltration, just better physical properties, and then also has a tendency to have higher soil respiration, which is one of our biological tests, showing higher microbial activity, diversity, and life in the soil. And then lastly, the pH there on the bottom left, you can see that the control is around 7.5, which is slightly calcareous, and even 7 years later, we're seeing that the biosolids lower it to, you know, a little happier of a soil pH, a little more neutral, like around 7.0. So just some brief conclusions that we showed is, so clearly the biosolids really show more benefit when it comes to soil quality versus the compost over time. It's really holding up much better, really across the board with physical, chemical, and biological soil quality properties. However, that phosphorus in the biosolids 2-inch is just frankly too high, and it is a concern. So what we recommend is, again, that 1-inch biosolids rate, or potentially a nice, meet in the middle and do just a higher blend of the WTR to potentially lock up some phosphorus, but still get all of the benefits of a 2-inch biosolids rate. And so looking towards the future, obviously the 19 measures that we're looking at are just, you know, it's a small snapshot of soil quality, and there's many more tests that we could pull from SMAF and Cornell and other frameworks that are out there. So we want to continue to analyze this data for other different soil quality measures to strengthen our data. We want to compare to the 2009 data that we have, just continue that statistical analysis to see increases, decreases per each treatment, et cetera. On a larger scale, many of us know that soil health frameworks were really made for agricultural soils. And so sometimes we hit roadblocks when we're reassessing soil health for urban land use because there's just a different function that we need from the soil. So just reassessing it and looking at different potential methodology and different scoring functions when looking at urban soils. And lastly, then, we really think that this is a great model for future restoration projects to look at. The EPA is really stressing that restoration projects need to have monitoring like 5 years later to follow up and see, was your restoration a success? And so we think that going back and doing this long-term soil quality test to see if your restoration was a success is a really good idea, at least from what we found. So just to wrap up, I really need to thank many people that are actually in this room from Ohio State and the MWRD, such as Dr. Kumar, Nick Basta, Alyssa, John, Matt Bright, and so on. There's so many people to thank, and without them, obviously, none of this is possible. So open up to any questions that you have, and thank you for your time. So the question was about plant diversity now in 2016. So it's one of the things that we're testing. So we did through like a meter by meter square down, and we're looking at plant diversity that way. And so we do have those plant samples, but I'm continuing right now on doing all of the plant identification with that and doing a diversity index. So it's kind of like it's in the works. I'm doing it. So it's to come with the diversity because exactly that is something I want to look at. So it's coming. Yeah. Oh, so like it compared to like a non-degraded soil, just like a normal soil, it's actually pretty good. So when you look at these numbers compared to, you know, non-degraded, you're looking at like the scoring function from Cornell, what's healthy. It's actually a pretty healthy soil. I don't necessarily know. I didn't look at it for like agriculture, if you could grow crops on it, but I mean, it's growing up pretty well. I mean, we had to cut it down. So I think I didn't look, but that's a good point. I should probably compare and get that actual data, but it's a good point. Yeah, so I know you're eager to answer, but I mean, and just to follow up, just from, like, what I was personally expecting, I expected these plots are slightly downslope, so I thought that, you know, 7 years worth of storms and rain and et cetera, that a lot of things would wash away and we wouldn't see the properties holding up. So I was very surprised to see the still, like, high phosphorus and the nitrogen. I thought most of the biosolids would have washed away. So I was a little surprised, honestly. So, yeah, John. Awesome. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. Awesome. Any other questions? Or?
Do you have time for another?
Right.
So when you say the biosolids held on, do you think it's that's happening, or do you think it's also a combination of stimulation of plant growth and restitution, and that being the soil?
For sure. That was one thing that I did think about was with the increased plant growth that we'd see the cycling that way. So I guess I don't know. It's probably hard to say whether it is the biosolids or it is the vegetative growth, but I think they're kind of linked. I mean, with the control, we didn't see, you know, that great because we had plant growth. It just wasn't very diverse. So doing the biosolids and promoting the better plant growth, you know, it's you get better plant growth and nutrients, whether it's the biosolids or the plants, it's either way it's linked to the biosolids, I believe. But like you said, it's hard to know for sure which it's coming from. So.
All right, we need to move on.